Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
I am Jasmine Amy Rogers, and you're listening to The Art of Kindness.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to The Art of Kindness, where we have compassionate conversations with artists from all areas of the entertainment industry who are using their voice to spread joy and make this big spinning planet in the universe a better place to be. I'm Robert Peter Paul, and I'm so glad you're here! Hello, friends. I hope you're having a bright, sunshiny day. I just hopped off the Zoom with today's guest, who is a true beacon of light. And I cannot wait for you to hear today's conversation. It is energizing. There are tons of laughs. There are inspiring moments that are so touching. There's a dog cameo. What else more do you want? Sorry, I'm unhinged this episode. I mean, I'm always unhinged, so I'm sure you're used to it by now. We have Betty Boop herself talking about all the things. Today's guest is the jovial, you'll get that later, Jasmine Amy Rogers. Jasmine Amy Rogers is a performer hailing from Texas who got her start as a finalist in the National High School Musical Theater Awards, the Jimmy Awards. Check out her performance, it's so good. From there, she was seen as Gretchen Wieners in the first national tour of Mean Girls, in Paper Mill Playhouse's The Wanderer, and much more. The theater community was buzzing with delight at her most recent turn. You may have seen her as the titular role. Sorry, that always makes me think of Moira Rose. You may have seen her as the titular role of Betty Boop in the world premiere of Boop the Musical at Chicago's CIBC Theater, directed by the one and only Jerry Mitchell. And it may soon be coming to Broadway. Jasmine is here to discuss all this and so much more, including her involvement with the Obie-winning nonprofit Maestro Music, which supports women and non-binary musicians in the musical theater world. Jasmine is amongst a star-studded lineup in Maestro's Amplify 2024 show at Sony Hall on Monday, March 25th. And you can go see it! For tickets and more information on this amazing evening, please head to the link in our show notes. Shout out to our friend Katie Rosen. You know why. This one was a tight turnaround, so there is no kindness tip of the week, but I will say your kindness tip of the week is to go to this show and support Maestra if you can. For more fun, please follow us on social media at Art of Kindness Pod and at Rob Peter Paul. Now, without further ado, please welcome the jovial Jasmine Amy Rogers. Jazzy Jazz, I'm going to say it again. I'm so thrilled to speak with you today. Thank you just for making this happen, first of all.
First, thanks for having me.
Before we kind of dive into your amazing career that you've already created and all the wonderful work you're doing with Maestra, I have some questions for you under the kindness sun. And the first one I like to start out asking, you may know for some reason, is how are you at accepting compliments? Because I feel like as an artist, it's a tricky thing, right? Mm-hmm. And you've been getting so many recently with Boop and all this wonderful work you're doing.
Thank you. It's definitely, it can be tricky sometimes, but I think as I've gotten older, it's gotten easier just because I'm just grateful for it. When I was younger, I had a really hard time. I used to say that my mother always taught me to be humble, and I always say I took it a step too far. So like,
oh, I get that.
I would not give myself any credit or allow other people to kind of do that. But now as I'm getting older and I realize that, you know, it's always still important to be humble, but it's also okay to like acknowledge that what you're doing is right. When other people do that, it's also just like, it's just reassuring and kind. So,
Did you apologize a lot? Because I feel like I was an
avid apologizer. I was always a person that's like, I'm sorry. No, it's fine. I'm sorry.
Correct. I am still that person to this day. I do it all the time. For things that aren't my fault, well, that's fair. But you know, yeah.
I get that. It's definitely a journey. And as we kind of continue the journey of this little chat here to have a really weird transition, first of all, to kind of unlock the door of the conversation about kindness in the arts, what is your definition of kindness, if you had to define it?
My definition of kindness, that's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think being kind is all about treating people the way you want to be treated. Of course, the golden rule. Mm. And for me, it's treating people with respect, you know, being honest with people and just caring for people, even though you may not know them. I know that's not like a succinct definition.
No, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Just taking care of the people around you, I think, because we're all people and we all have feelings. And, you know, it's funny, I was just outside and I was walking my dog. And I was talking, these kids are learning about pets today. They're like they've got to be like kindergartners. Yeah. And the woman was like, do you have time? And I was coming to do this. And I was like, you know, it would just be so sweet if I just stopped and talked to these children who have questions about my dog. So it's like little things like that. Just like treating people with respect and kindness and love, I think. Yeah.
I love that. I think, who is it? Oprah says, who I quote every day alongside my grandma and Dolly Parton, time is the greatest gift you can give. So taking the time to do that is an act of kindness. And I love that example right there. We have the opportunity every day, as cheesy as it sounds. Mm-hmm. Now, this ain't Texas, but you're from Texas, right? Okay. Sorry, I'm also obsessed with that song.
I love
it. How did you experience kindness growing up there? Because I feel like there's probably a unique style. They get this different reputation.
Right. I think at the end of the day, people are people. Mm. And you know, we all, there's a difference between Northern kindness and Southern kindness. I actually was born in Boston, but I've grew up in Texas for most of my life, the majority of my life. So I've experienced both ends, but I know the people in Texas, they fostered, they gave me an environment where I could really grow, and they really showed me a belief. That their belief in me was so strong that I don't know if I had started to experience yet in the North. So I'm not sure what that would have been like. But, you know, there's a way that they look at their young talent in Texas that I think is really special. And I think it's why there are a lot of people from Texas in the South that come up here and do well. I think they just believe in us so much. And I remember my teachers were really encouraging. And my drama teachers, my dance teachers, all of that. And the people around you too, they get so excited, especially in the Black community, like young people with talent. It's like the greatest thing on the planet for them. But yeah, if that answers the question, I hope.
No, I love that so much. And it actually leads to something I was very curious about you, because I've watched your Jimmy Awards performance countless times. If it were a DVD, I would have worn it out because it's iconic. And I got to make a little pit stop at the Jimmy Awards because it's celebrating 15 years this year, right? And we're lucky enough to work with them on this podcast at the Broadway League. And so I'm actually an adjudicator this year. I shouldn't say too much about that.
That's amazing.
But I'm adjudicating. And I'm always blown away. Last year at the Jimmys, I left saying, no wonder why me and all my friends aren't booking, because these high school kids are just ready for Broadway.
Right.
Including you. So as someone who went through that experience, what does it mean for you now to be on the other side and have the opportunity to kind of give back to these kids and promote this amazing ceremony?
It's really, really nice. It's very inspiring as well. Not just for me, but for them as well, seeing them being in a place where I was, and then also them getting to see, you know, us as professionals be successful. But it's really exciting and it's really cool. I wanted to apply to be like a coach this year, but I couldn't because my schedule didn't work out. But I would love to do that. But it's just so nice because it really changed my life. And like, I didn't blow up like some of the other people blew up, but it,
well, you blew, you're on your way to really blowing up, but I think you blew up for my little seat over here.
Thank you.
Sorry. Anyway,
no. It just, it opens doors for you that, you know, you wouldn't have had otherwise. And, it shows you what's possible. I know when I did it, the very next morning, I auditioned for the Once on This Island revival because it was 2017. Mm. Yeah. And so it just like put me in rooms that I never expected to be put into. And so the fact that they keep giving these opportunities to children, these really talented children, and now more people are paying attention, that's really, really, really amazing.
Yeah. So. It's also amazing that it turned 11-11 when you were talking about that. I don't know why, but I'm feeling good juju. It says 11 behind you. It says it on my computer screen. Okay. Anyway. So after the Jimmys, to keep going. Sorry. I'm insane. I'm a Muppet. After the Jimmys, I'm so glad. And everyone at home, it's a shame you can't see these.
Oh,
maybe
my gosh.
We'll try and post some screenshots, right, of these nails that you did.
Oh my gosh.
Beautiful blue nails. And she told me before we started recording that she did them. So hidden talent.
Yeah, special skill. I put that on my Instagram story. I was like, special skill.
There we go. Okay. Boop there and boop yeah, everywhere. I don't know what that means. After the Jimmys, I don't need to tell you, but you studied at the Manhattan School of Music for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I have some friends there now, and shout out to that. But you made the decision, which I think must have been really hard, to leave to pursue your dream and just start auditioning. And
yeah,
I really admire that. And I feel like following a dream is kind of, again, to be cheesy, the greatest act of kindness you can give yourself.
Mm.
But it's really hard to make that decision. And people listening to this may have a dream that they've given up on or they're nervous to follow. How did you kind of find that strength within yourself?
I was really, really scared because I didn't. Some people think that I had a job lined up. I didn't. But I knew I wasn't happy. And I gotten to the point where like I wasn't going to class. And I would like sleep through the entire day. Like I was depressed and sad and just felt like stuck. And I had some great teachers and it wasn't that, but I just wasn't, I had reached the limit where I was just like, this is what this has to offer to me right now. And I know coming into school, I also had the feeling, I was like, my mother was like, you don't have to go if you don't want to. But I was like, I think I want to, and I think I need to. And those 2 years, I grew up a lot, but I had gotten to the point where I said, okay, I'm ready. And I didn't have the option to audition and attend school. So I decided it was time for me to leave. And I had been auditioning here and there while I was in school anyhow. And so once I left and I did take that leap, it was scary, but it was exciting. And then I always say the universe has a plan, and everything just kind of fell into place. Like I got an agent, I booked immediately like 3 musicals. I got to choose, and I was on an episode of TV. And the pandemic happened, of course, but it was like the universe just had a plan for me. So, you know, if I had stayed in school, maybe things would be like they are now, but I honestly don't think they would, because I would never have met Jerry Mitchell when I met him. And I would have never just started. And it was so important to just go for it. And I think that's like when you're following your dreams, it's so like, it can be so scary, but like you said, it is the greatest act of kindness you can give to yourself, because you just never know. And if you stay in one place, like what kind of life is that, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of taking that giant leap and not really having a safety net, which is
hard. And I was lucky. I had my parents, but that were always on my side. They still are, which is like a huge blessing. I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing without them. But it is taking that leap. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that you shouted them out, because a lot of people don't have that. I think that's really wonderful. You have great parents, it sounds like.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My parents, other people too, which I love about them. They try their best to be parents to all. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And you also reminded me of what Andre DeShields said at one point, which is that the universe is conspiring with you.
Yeah.
Not against you. And I think that's an important reminder, because, you know, how many times can we go throughout our day, we stub our toe, we're late for the train, we miss it, you know? And
I have these moments where I'm like, what does that mean?
Oh, me too. I'm my inner monologue's insane. It's like, what's happening? This is the right moment. But everything's led us here. People will come for me if I don't ask you about Boop. And I also just want to ask you about Boop for a moment, if you don't mind.
Of course.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So your light was really shining through Instagram, at least all the clips I saw. It looked incredible. What was the experience like to be Betty Boop in Boop, the Betty Boop musical? Wow, that's a tongue twister. Betty Boop, the Betty Boop. Okay.
Right. People ask me this question. I'm always just like, it was amazing because I don't know if I have words. Like, it was so special and life-changing. And it continues to be both special and life-changing. I'm sitting here looking at my water bottle that I like decked out in these Betty Boop stickers.
Oh,
it's just like the most joyful experience of my life. And to be able to not only play this amazing role, but to also fill this place that the Fleischers and Fleischer Studios, they've been looking for like a way to do a live Betty Boop as a human being for a long time, and they could never find what they were looking for. And then to have them be so confident in me that I embodied what they were looking for is really crazy and really special. It just like,
so cool.
It changed. It just means the world to me. I can't like even put it into words, but it's so special over and over again. And it's just the best opportunity ever. And when we went to Chicago, we had the most amazing time. Like, it's this crazy fun. It's so much fun and lighthearted and jovial. Like, it's just like good times stuffed into a little musical. And there's no one better to do that than Jerry, because Jerry just lives his life in that way. But it's just been amazing. And And the cast is amazing. The set is amazing. The book is amazing. Bob Martin, the lyrics, Susan Birkenhead, and the music, David Foster. It's just like a dream team. My dream is happening over and over again every day.
So dreamy. And you're amazing and dreamy. And also, while you were talking, this is so random, but you said jovial, which is an underrated word. And it made me realize that, you know, Elf, the Christmas movie, I'm assuming, her name's Jovi. And it's probably short for jovial. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I took away from that.
Right. No, I love that though, because as I was saying it, I was like, is this the right word to say? I was like, why is this coming out of my mouth? But it meant something. So that's perfect.
Welcome to the way I speak. Never know what's going to fly out of here. I try to be thoughtful, but you know, sometimes it just moves faster than I can.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, seeing you at the center of this sort of iconic project and IP and bringing it to life in such a special way as you're talking about, I always wonder for people sort of, I mean, you've been working hard for a long time, but sort of thrust into that other realm of attention. Did you struggle with imposter syndrome at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And I said to my mom, I literally was like, I think I have imposter syndrome. And she was like, well, I don't think so. And I'm like, no, now I know I do. Because definitely, I just have these moments where I'm like, I think sometimes I have these moments where it doesn't settle in my brain what's happening, because I'm like, why would it be happening to me? Like, why would it be happening? Even though it's something I've always wanted. It's so, so weird. And I also do that thing where I'm like, you know, like, I'm like, oh, this great thing is happening. Am I worthy of this great thing? I'm like, yes, because it's happening, you know, like, you know,
yeah.
I think things happen when they're supposed to happen. But definitely, I definitely have imposter syndrome sometimes. And I'm getting better at it. Not this one. Yes, Zoom is a weird thumbs up thing.
Zoom is like, you are getting better, baby girl. Right. That's great. I love that. Nobody could see, but a random. It's been happening a lot on Zoom and Google Meets. These icons just pop up when people
and
are talking.
And on FaceTime.
Oh, what?
Yeah, my mom did it the other day, and she did like a heart, and it like shot hearts out of the center. We have an ADHD brain.
Oh, same. I just confirmed by a doctor, actually, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
Oh really? Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to medicate. Sorry. Anyway. obviously, neither of us are. We're like, what? I love it. Yeah, I think that's really amazing you shared that, because it is something a lot of people don't. I mean, people are starting to talk about it more, but I know for me, there's something my fingers are crossed about right now, and I can go down this rabbit hole of saying, if I think about it too much, it's not going to happen. I'm going to jinx it. And it's just a weird,
yeah.
It's hard to believe it's real, these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. And it's so tricky. Yeah. Because you trick yourself into being like, oh, I can't think too much about it or else this or that. And it's like, you know, what if we just let it be?
Mm.
And once it's out of your hands, like it's out of your hands, and you can come home and like manifest all you want. And I think that's good. I do believe in that a little bit. But we have to, it's so hard not to like crush yourself when you leave these rooms and like you love these things that you're in for and you want them so badly. And then you just sit and suffer about it forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, let it be. Yeah. We got to let it be. That's
honestly. Yeah. Oh, it's so hard.
It is hard, but Boop happened. Boop is hopefully still happening. And I mean, how did you show yourself sort of kindness as a performer? Did you have certain self-care things? I know that's weird to ask that you did while you were at the lead of the show.
You know, at first I was doing really, really well. And then when we got to Chicago, I did have some moments where I was like, or even in the room still when we were in New York, I was like, am I right for this? Am I going to be good enough? And I just really decided to lean on the people around me and also believe the people around me. Because the things that they were saying and their belief in me, I was like, okay, these people are not just saying this for fun, you know? And I, these friends that I've made, Ainsley Mellum, who played, opposite me, his character, Dwayne, he was somebody that I leaned on so much because he believed in me so much and I believed in him and I trusted him as a person and as a performer to just kind of like take care of me in a way. And I let other people take care of me. I usually don't. But that just changed everything for me. And I honestly, my biggest self-care thing is going to sleep. And
it's hard.
Right. I'm a good sleeper. I will say that. So like,
oh,
that's
lucky.
Like, that's one of my big things. I'm like, stop thinking about it. Go to sleep.
Yeah. You know? That's a superpower.
Yeah. And so that is one of my biggest things. And I love leaning on like television shows and podcasts are a big thing of mine.
Mm.
And I started reading again. Another thing I picked up from Ainsley, just like things that I can be with myself in my head and not thinking about like my life, my career, my trajectory, like all of that stuff, you know?
Yeah. It's hard. And I know for me, I had this moment yesterday where I was looking at the podcast that I subscribe to. And I just had a moment on my walk where, do I want to listen to this Broadway soundtrack, this podcast? And I'm like, it's actually okay to put some time into things that aren't in entertainment and the arts. It's actually probably important.
Yeah, for sure. I've had like a moment where I'm in like a music drought right now where I can't really listen to music. And I think it might be because I'm creating my own music and not like super, super seriously, but I think like I just don't have the space for it anymore. And it might just be because I'm constantly surrounded by art, which is great. And I love it.
Yeah.
But I think I don't have any more space.
Yeah, I get that. We run out of gigabytes. I'm like, you know, yeah, I go through droughts if I can't watch reality TV right now. And it's the same. It's really not the same because you're actually you're creating music and I'm watching Traders.
No, but still, no, it is exactly the same because I'm not creating on that level either, but we're all actors, you know, and it really does like, you get to a point where you're like, okay, this is enough.
Yeah. You just got to let it be like you said before.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to know what you kind of learned overall from Betty now that you've had time to let things simmer. Is there a certain lesson you took away from being in her red shoes?
Oh my goodness. I said this on TikTok and it was about like my voice. I'm very much of a perfectionist. And I take my vocal skills and technique or whatever very seriously, but I had moments where my voice wasn't doing what I was wanting it to do. Mm-hmm. And what I ended up saying to myself, I said, you know what? Sometimes what comes out of my mouth is none of my business. And it's none of those people out there's business either, because they have no idea what's going into what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And of course, I will always deliver a performance that I think is good for great for everyone in the audience. I couldn't think of the words, but I had to like let it go because like these voice cracks and these little hitches, because it was killing me. I would go into my dressing room and be like, oh my god, and I was like, wait a minute, this happened because, you know, it's never like, usually it's never the whole thing for me that gets crazy. If that's the case, we need to call out. But that was one moment in this one song, it went a little weird. And I would go backstage and just sit there and berate myself about it. And I was like, that's one part of this whole performance. And if I can deliver everything else, that's fine. And I, that's amazing. You know, and I realized that the best performers, they all have moments where their voice is cracked or, yeah, you know, they didn't hit the note the way they wanted to, or you thought they should. But at the end of the day, they still are who they are. And that was really freeing. I just like gave myself permission to mess up and have those vocal moments, or else why are we doing live theater, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's been my biggest takeaway.
That's so true. We had Jodie Benson on here a while back, who's the voice of Ariel in The Little Mermaid. And she said that when she recorded part of your world, obviously I'm not delirious. And she said when she recorded it, they took her aside and they said, right before the premiere, just so you know, the version that ended up in the movie isn't going to be one you're going to love as a singer. It's not the quote unquote perfect version, but it's perfect for Ariel and it's perfect for the story. And so that allowed her to sort of let go of perfectionism. And I can imagine for you, you know, doing Betty, your voice is kind of in this different register. And I'm sure there's maybe similar, like Alex Brightman as Beetlejuice, you're kind of living in this other area.
Right.
So that must be hard to maintain. And I'm glad you forgive yourself, because that's why we're human. I mean, do you want to see an AI? I mean, just, you know.
Exactly. Then go watch go watch a movie or listen to a... Oh, my dog is coming.
Come on in. My cats have been trying to get in for like a half hour. I see their hands under the door like this.
<They're little boss>. Yeah, I think that just like being live and honest and raw is so much more fun to watch, too. So, And I mean, I won't say who, because I'm not going to be like, this person, their voice cracked. I saw this amazing show on Broadway and this amazing veteran actor. And I'll stop there. But his voice, he's insane, but his voice cracked for one moment. And he was so in it and emotionally, his voice cracked. And it was so amazing because it didn't take anything away from the performance. If anything, it made it better. And it just was like, oh yeah. I was like, this is what we do. Like we're like living in the space of, I'm a human being. My voice is an instrument. It's also a muscle. It's this whole weird thing that sometimes like you train to have control of, but sometimes things, they go a different way. And it's like the beauty of live performing and live singing. Just kicked the thing.
Bye. No, it's so true. Sometimes the mistakes are the things that make a song or a moment iconic. It's like accidentally, maybe optioning up. No, accidentally doing something. Sometimes it's what makes the story or the, you know, there's a lot of TV shows, they'll keep bloopers in just because it sort of makes it more natural.
Yeah. And like, we're in the art of being human at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And with Betty Boop, she's a cartoon, and with the voice and all that. And I don't go too crazy on the voice, or else it would probably kill me and also be very annoying. But I always say it's like my voice, but a little different. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you come to see people be people, and people are flawed. So I think it's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. A casting director the other day said, I've never not cast someone because their voice cracked in the room.
Right.
You know, so I think all these flaws are what make us human, like you're saying. And I guess to kind of tie Betty in a beautiful red bow, I heard that if you could ask her one question, you would want to know what her motto in life is. And it made me curious. Betty, enter the chat. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, it made me curious.
I don't know what I said.
How weird would that be? It's like some voice comes in. It made me curious. What's your life motto, if you have one?
You know, I think I just want to be happy. And I think that's my life motto right now. If I can just be happy, I'm good. And also at the end of the day, it's you and you, which kind of ties into if I can just be happy. That's a big one I always say. At the end of the day, it's you and you. And then I always know if I have a little eyelash and I make a wish, my wish, I just say happiness.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because I've had so many dark moments in my life and I'm very honest about that. And I'm no longer in a state of like what feels like constant darkness. So any happiness and joy, I really do love. When I was younger, I used to be one of those people that's like, oh, I hate people, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, as I'm older, I'm like, no, you don't. You love people. You love this crazy human experience. So just be happy and focusing on being happy with yourself, because like I said, at the end of the day, when you leave this world, it's going to be you and you. So
you and you, I love that. Lady Gaga, change your song. You and you, not you and not. I think
yes!
That's, yeah. I wish you all that happiness. And I think it would make all of us happy. If is something happening with Betty? Is that coming to Broadway?
Yeah, we'll be on Broadway next spring. So 2025.
Okay, I guess I missed that. Sorry to scream. Everyone probably just logged off the podcast.
You didn't scream. You like a very calm gasp.
it was calm? Oh, thank you.
It was very,
no one ever said that to me. Yeah, it was probably in the Muppet realm. Wait, so I need to know, what kind of dog do you have? What's your dog's name? What is their name?
This is Martha May Huvier from The Grinch.
Yes.
She's a boxer. She's about 68 pounds of muscle and goofy joy. And right now she's sniffing everything that I have on my floor, because that's the way I am.
That's how Christine Baranski does it. You know?
Yes.
Do you love that movie? That's literally
one of my
favorites.
Yes, it's one of my favorite movies. And I think it's one of the reasons why I am the way I am today.
Yeah.
The chaos of that.
He's like Jim Carrey's hands. And the set was in Universal for a while. And I got to go to it when I was little, but they tore it down. I'm like, they should have kept that
up. I didn't know it was there.
Yeah, in LA.
Oh, that's why, because I'd never been, I'd only ever recently been to the one in LA.
Okay. Yeah. It's a good time.
It is.
Well, speaking of good times, I do have to ask you about a good time that's coming up on Monday for a great reason. Yes. You know, we've been talking about Betty, who's an iconic woman. Mm-hmm. You will be performing in Maestro Music's Amplify 2024 event at Sony Hall. I'm going to put all the information in the show notes. Maestro Music really aims to achieve gender equity in our business. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting because I'm not struggling to say maestra, but I know it's like maestro. But yeah. Every time I typed it in, it auto-corrected it to maestro.
Really?
Which is just like a weird, maybe patriarchal thing that I noticed.
Correct.
Yeah, in researching, which says a lot. So can you please share with our audience a bit about the wonderful work Maestro is doing?
Yes. It's just so exciting to give credit where credit is due. And I think a lot of women have felt so left out of the conversation for so long, even though they've been creating forever. And it's important that we highlight them when we can. And we live in this world where we're always striving towards equality, but we're still far from it. And it's important that people see like what we're capable of. So I'm really excited to go and to meet the other women that are going to be there. I know Susan Birkenhead, I believe we're paying her some homage or homage. because she wrote the words.
I do that.
Right. She wrote the lyrics for Betty Boop, also for the work in the musical and Jelly's Last Jam. So like, these are like titans in our industry that get paid like dust sometimes, and people don't know them. And so I'm really excited that we're getting to just honor them and share space with them and for them. It'll be great. Yeah.
So what will you be singing? Do you have multiple songs? You
know, I'm going to sing Where I Want to Be from Boop, actually, the one that everybody hears, that has heard, but I'll be singing it live this time.
So good.
I'm excited. So it'll be the first time outside of the walls of Boop, I guess, that I'm getting to perform it. And so I'm really excited.
That's awesome. Sony Hall's super fun.
I know. I literally was just there. I did Broadway Belts with for PFF,
Commodore
Foundation. And it was literally like 2 days ago. So I get to go right back.
Yeah, go down those stairs. I was there for the Hocus Pocus show that Jay Armstrong Johnson does every, yeah, it's so much fun. Oh my goodness. I can't recommend enough.
It's a very weird space, like a weird, yeah. Cool space.
Yeah, it's got interesting architecture down there. It's like a little bit of a layer, and then there's just this like thrust stage. And
ah, have you seen the bathtub?
I don't think I did.
Oh,
is it in the bathroom?
It's off of stage left.
Oh, I did not go down stage left. Now I will. Yeah,
it's a bathtub. Yeah, it's covered in wax. It's very disturbing, actually. Because it used to be a speakeasy, I guess, but or is, or you know, but yeah, anyway, there's a bathtub in there.
Okay. Bathtub maestro, go check it out. Thanks all for listening. Yeah. Get a picture in the bathtub. That could be fun. And have your nails like sticking out, these beautiful nails that you've done. Well, in line with the work Master is doing, I wonder, what do you think people in our industry can do every day on their own front to try and move the needle forward?
I think it's about creating space and holding space for people who aren't like you, I guess. So whether that's non-binary people, trans people, trans women, just holding space for them and allowing them to be creative and not dimming their light by putting your own ideas on it, and things like that, just letting them be creative and seeing what happens and taking them seriously. Because I don't know where this idea came from that, you know, like cis men were the only people that could run things and be in charge and be creative. Not that they can't, because they do, and they're also amazing at it, but it's just, we're just all like, at the end of the day, we're all just people. So why do why not give that space to other people as well? I think that's all you can do, is just like allow people to be themselves, allow them to create. We need to put more funding into things like this and fund more original work. I think will really help. Because I know, I mean, I have so many friends who are creatives, and they have so much to share with no resources. So I think it's really important that they're gathering those resources and those safe spaces for people to make that art. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And I think people listening too, even if you're not maybe a producer or involved on that front, if you just buy a ticket and go see some of these workshops or whatever it is, that's a great way to support, I feel like.
If for certain, that is literally perfect. Yeah.
Or to this event, to Amplify. I mean, that's an awesome, perfect, or check out what they're doing and see if you can get involved. That's a really wonderful way to do this, because you're so right. I mean, we share the same brain, the same philosophy. It's like, we're all just people. We're all just humans. Yeah. And if you see someone or something that sort of irks you or makes you feel a weird way, then you should look inward at why it's making you feel that way instead of going after someone and making it about them.
Yeah, because feeling threatened is almost always a you thing.
Oh, I'm gonna write that on my post-it note and wear it across the street and just walk up and down, or put it on my back. That's probably better. T-shirt.
Right. And yeah.
That's really good. Feeling threatened is a you thing.
Well, unless you're being like actually threatened.
Yes. Oh yeah. We should definitely flag that. Then.
Right.
Martha May who? Well, right. I've had so much fun talking to you. And I would love to know, as we wrap up here, you know, the event is sort of expertly timed during Women's History Month.
Yes.
Do you have a female figure in this industry that you've always kind of looked up to, your North Star?
Gosh. Wow.
Is she hanging behind you on the wall in this?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, that's Lena Horne back there.
Yeah.
I have Lena Horne on my wall. I have Dorothy Dandridge in front of me. And then I have Eartha Kitt. And I think those are great examples of women that I really look up to. They're just like these, especially for me, these Black icons of the past. We have them today as well, but they were just everything. And the way they broke through the glass ceiling and for themselves at that time is really, really amazing. I would say, especially I'm looking at Dorothy Dandridge right here, beautiful. And Eartha Kitt, just like Eartha Kitt, especially, she made space for herself and she was never anybody except herself. And I think that's what I strive for in life. I hope that's what I get to do.
Yeah. I see like a little sparkle of Eartha in you, but in your own way, like she kind
yes,
of.
Yes. No, I get it a lot.
You do? Oh, okay. Okay. I'm such
I'm honored for it.
Yeah, what an icon. And you're so right, just on a human level too. She was herself, and there was no one else like her that we were seeing in this industry, you know? So it's one of those people. I was seeing clips too of like Carol Channing the other day, who had a similar kind of zaniness to her. Mm-hmm. And these folks that kind of are allowed to just be themselves and then shine it through the text of whatever they're doing is super important. So were those three kind of always it for you growing up? Is that the trifecta?
You know, I don't know if I ever had like one person or these people. I think I'm always kind of inspired by what I see, and that's always ever changing. And I was thinking about this recently. I'm always inspired by the last person I saw. So like for me, Lindsay Mendez, I saw
Merrily
recently, and she blew my world away. I was just like so inspired by her. And so I think that's always something that I kind of go off of. I try not to like idolize anybody super closely, because I think for me, I'll focus too much on being like them or something like that. But I'm always so inspired by the people I see, but these are just women that I do really love and I'm inspired by. But yeah, I'm always inspired.
I love that. I like that you said, you mentioned that too. It's important definitely not to idolize anybody. And I always think.
If it works for you, it works for you, and you love it, you love it. But I just, it's not my thing, you know?
Yeah. I guess idolize in the sense of, it could be like Helga Pataki and Hey Arnold, when she has him like in the closet,
yes,
the gum version. No, it could get a little weird.
Where's the line?
Where's the line? Maybe if you're trying to be like them and it's all you're thinking about, then maybe, I don't know, whatever works for you. I guess I'm not the one to speak on this.
Sure you are.
Oh, well, I like that you said that. And Lindsay too, she had this light about her every time she was on the stage that was just so sort of like, I was so attracted to it.
Mm-hmm. You had to see what she was doing.
Drawn to it. Yeah, attracted sounds like a weird. Okay, now I'm hitting the microphone.
It didn't sound weird, I promise.
Oh, thank you. Well, I sound weird no matter what. So anyway, I'd love if we could end our time together by you sharing a tangible kindness tip or wellness tip, something that our listeners can incorporate into their day to try and make the world a little brighter on their own front.
I would say enjoy the weather, not today necessarily, but as we go into this next season of spring, get outside. My dog is whining.
Your dog's like, yes.
Right. She's like, I love it outside.
She's just floating like,
Right. To go outside, take in your surroundings and just like smile at somebody, breathe in some fresh air. And get some like perspective that maybe you didn't have a second ago. You know, I guess that's my kindest tip for right now. And take a nap, you know, take care of yourself. Read a book, take a nap, drink some water, you know?
These are all incredible. Yeah. And there's all scientific research that backs up most of that to show that it actually improves your mental health. So kindness not only sort of helps others, but it helps you as well, which is maybe not why we do it, but it's a full circle thing.
For sure.
Yeah, I love that. Get outside. We can get outside. Your dog's like, please, right now, take me.
Literally, which we went out before, but anytime she can go outside, she's ready.
Yeah. Okay. Even my cats. I was such a dog person, but then my wife loves cats. So I was like, fine, let's get two. And now we have two. And they scream at the door to go outside, which, it's a little, their cats are weird.
They are weird. They kind of scare me, but I like, because I've never had one. And I'm like, they have claws. But one of my best friends has a cat. His name is Terrence. And I love that cat. So
No, I agree. But I will say they're really fun. I was nervous as well. And now I'm sort of obsessed. They do weird things like in the middle of the night. Sometimes I wake up and one's licking my teeth, which TMI. That's weird. But
weird.
I know it's love.
Yeah, I'm gonna like back up.
Anyway, kindness to yourself is taking your cat off of your teeth. And Jasmine, it was so wonderful to meet you. Oh, your dog's ripping your jacket. No, that is your dog. I thought that was a jacket on your chair.
Hold on. No. I'm sitting on my bed. She's just jumped on the bed. Anyway.
Hi.
Here.
Hi, Martha.
I'm here.
Hello.
Oh,
she's so cute.
Thank you. Hi, mommy.
Could you bring her to Chicago when you went?
I didn't. She was at home in Texas with my parents, which was nice. So she got to have her wide open space.
Yeah.
But She's exploring.
Hi. Oh my God.
Gone.
Yes. You are so cute.
Thank you. She's like smelling my laptop. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Okay. Good to talk with you. Good to meet you.
You as well.
Bye. Bye. You too.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.